Ephesians chapter number 6.
Go to verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Our Father, I pray that you would guide and direct our minds today. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to be encouraged and convicted and motivated to do what is right and put on the whole armor of God. Guide and direct us. Guide and direct our decisions. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. There is a war going on. We are in a battle. The battle is for the souls of man. The battle is with your mind. The battle is out there. We need to put on the whole armor of God and stand for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we put on the belt of truth. We need to make sure that we have on the breastplate of righteousness, that the cleats of peace are firmly planted on our feet and in the soil, and we need to stand for our Savior. Today, in verse number 16, we read, above all. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, take that shield of faith. When we use the word faith, or when we think of the word faith, we tend to think of something that is the opposite of fact, that is the opposite of reason. We tend to think that living by faith is something that we can only do if we put our brain in neutral and move forward. Well, let me tell you, those thoughts are wrong. Amen. True faith is faith in fact. True faith is faith in reason. You live by faith every single day in the physical world. Let's face it, if you came here this morning in a car, you drove by faith. You had faith that everybody else around you knew what they're doing. Now, as you drove, you found out there's a lot of people that don't know what they're doing, but they're still in a car anyway. You drive by faith. You eat by faith. You go to some restaurant, you do not know what's going on in the back room. You eat at home. You don't know what they did to your meat at the store or anything else. You eat by faith. You believe when someone tells you something that they are telling you the truth. And you might act on what someone is telling you. You are living by faith. It is not a question of whether or not you have faith. The question is, where is your faith placed? Where do you place your faith? What is your faith in? Well, I believe that God's word is fact. And when I live in obedience to God's word, I am living by faith. Amen. Remember, faith is believing the word of God and acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. Amen. If you will get that definition down and live it out in your lives every single day, you will be living by faith. Faith is believing the word of God and acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. Another good quote I've heard that I like to use quite often is, faith is not belief without reason. It is trust without reservation. And I trust the word of God. Amen. Number one, the shield of faith. What is it? The shield of faith. What is it? We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. What is it? Well, there were two kinds of shields that the Roman soldier would use. One was from the word aspis, and it meant a small, light, round shield, kind of like a rather large frisbee, and it is strapped to the arm and used in hand-to-hand combat. That was the first shield. This is not the word that Paul uses here. Okay, that's not the shield he is talking about here. The second one was from the Greek word thurion. Thurion, it was a large 2.5 foot by 4.5 foot piece of wood covered with leather, providing total body protection. Have you seen the riot squad come in with those big old plexiglass shields that they hide behind? That's the kind of shield he's talking about here. Above all, taking the shield of faith, something that you completely get yourself behind. That's what the shield is. Number two, the shield of faith, what does it do? What does it do? Well, we read here, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Literally, it's of the wicked one. Okay? First of all, it will extinguish all. The shield of faith will extinguish all. Now, how many does that include? Let's try that again. How many? All of them. When you're living a life of faith, it will extinguish all what we're talking about here. When you believe the Word of God and act on it, no matter how you feel, understanding God promises a good result, all can be extinguished. It extinguishes all. It extinguishes all the fiery darts. All the fiery darts. Now, these were arrows dipped in pitch, lit on fire, and shot into the air. They were designed to kill, but not only were they designed to kill, they were designed to hit and then splatter that fire in every direction. So they were designed to kill you and splatter the fire everywhere, thus affecting more people than just the one. But if you're carrying the shield of faith, you'll be able to extinguish all the fiery darts. Again, how many of them? All of them. All the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked means the wicked one. Satan himself. He is the one shooting these arrows. He is the one who has dipped them in pitch. He's the one that has lit them on fire. And he is the one who seeks your destruction. Number three, the shield of faith. How do you use it? How do you use it? We need to understand. You need to recognize that Satan is out to destroy you. He is out to destroy you. Let's go back, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan is out to destroy you. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I've read it before, I've seen it before, I get it. Satan's out to destroy me, yeah. No, he is. He really is. He wants to destroy you, and if you give him a foothold, if you give him that opportunity, he will come into your life, and he will do just that. Oh no, not me. Oh no, I'm too strong. Oh no, I would never give in to that. Oh no, that would never happen to me. It doesn't matter what I do, what I say, what I think, it won't happen to me. How many have said that and been destroyed by Satan? Countless numbers. Hundreds. Thousands. Maybe in the millions. He hates you. He is out to destroy you. Understand that faith is understanding that God's word is true and I need to be obedient to it in every way. God is right. And when he says you have an adversary, the devil, who is out to destroy you, guess what? You have an adversary, the devil, who is out to destroy you. He is out to devour you. He is after you. And he will not stop. He will not quit until the rapture takes place or you die. How exciting is that? It is never going to be over. It is never going to end in this life. You can never put the shield down. You can never take the armor off. You can never let down your guard because Satan is out to destroy you. Amen. Understand it. Get it. Let it sink into your brain. Let it sink into your heart and live it out on a daily basis. Satan wants to destroy you. He seeks whom he may devour, and that is you. It is me. You are exercising the putting on of the shield of faith every time you understand it, you recognize it, you realize it, and you live in obedience to the Word of God. Faith is believing the Word of God and acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God promised a good result. I'm living in obedience to God's Word. He can't harm me if I'm doing that. He cannot destroy me if I'm doing that. His fiery darts will be extinguished if I will stand behind the shield of faith. If I will stand behind, trusting God in his word without reservation. Amen. It is when I decide I don't have to live in obedience to God's word. I don't have to do what God told me to do. That we are letting down our guard, letting down the shield of faith, and we are opening ourselves up to his attack, and he will. He will attack. Recognize Satan is out to destroy you. Recognize that Satan always uses doubt. Satan always uses doubt. Now, what's doubt? Doubt is simply saying, well, maybe God's not right in this instance. Wow. We know you don't look at it that way. We think doubt is some kind of wholesale departure from the faith where I doubt that God is right. No, most doubt simply comes from, well, you know, maybe this little area is not that big of a deal. Yeah, I know God's word said it is, but nah, it's not that big of a deal. I can do things my way. I can go ahead and do what I want to do and just, you know, it's not the whole book. It's just this one little area that I think I know better in. Satan always uses doubt. Go back to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Verse number 1, Genesis chapter number 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Did God really tell you that? Did God really say that? Did God really make that something in his word that you're supposed to live by and you're supposed to? Did God really say that? And Satan uses doubt to get you to think, well, maybe he is holding back. Maybe God is holding out. Maybe God is trying to stop me from doing what I want to do, and it's really no big deal. Watch out. He's more subtle than anybody you've ever met. And he comes with the rationalizations and the justifications already built in why you're not the one who will get caught with this sin. You're not the one who will have to pay the consequences. You're not the one. You're the one who's going to get away with it. And he says it, and he says it, and he says it, and he says it. And we let down the shield of faith, believing everything that God said, acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God promised a good result. We let it down. We allow him in, and he's got a foothold in our life. We begin to simply doubt one statement, one area, one thing, and we've opened that door, and Satan has room to begin his destructiveness in our lives. Wow. Go to Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Wow. Just what we're talking about. His word's pure. How many of them? Every one of them. And if we will put our trust in him, in his word, we can stand behind that shield, and he will be our shield and our protector, which will extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. But we've got to make that decision. I will stand behind faith. What is faith? Believing the word of God and acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. Amen. He will get you to doubt God's word. He will get you to doubt God's love. He will get you to doubt God's motives. He will get you to doubt just something small, a little compromise, a little giving in here, a little giving in there, and he's got a way in. You've let down the shield of faith, and he is coming after you. Amen. Recognize Satan is out to destroy you. Recognize, he always uses doubt. He simply gets you to put the shield down, to lower it enough so he can get in. And recognize that faith is the victory. Go to 1 John chapter number 5. Faith is the victory. 1 John chapter number 5. Verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith. What is faith? Believing the word of God and acting on it no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. Faith is not belief without reason. It is trust without reservation. God is right. When is God right? All the time. And when I get that, when I understand that, I'm putting up that shield of faith, and I will have the victory. I can overcome anything and everything when I put my trust in God, in his word, without reservation. God is always right. Amen. Satan knows the book. Satan knows the Bible. Satan knows God's promises for your life, and Satan knows how he wants to get around all those things and get you to compromise. You see, Satan knows no faith, no obedience. No obedience, no power. No power, no victory. He gets that. He understands that. We need to get it. We need to understand that faith will bring obedience. Faith will bring power in our lives, because the Holy Spirit will fill us to do what is right, and we will have the victory over anything in our lives as long as we're putting our trust in God without reservation. Amen. Now, I must say, it is not faith in faith. A lot of people have the idea, if I just believe, if I just have faith. And people will tell you, if you have enough faith and on and on and on, and build up your faith, and they exalt faith to a level of a power in and of itself. There is no faith in faith. There is no power in faith. There is no strength in faith. Nothing is in faith. It is faith in God. God will do what is right. Not empowered by my faith. I simply trust Him to do what is right. Amen. Jesus Christ said, if you will have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Okay, because it's not your faith. It's the God that your faith is placed in. Amen. And I got to be honest with you. There are times that I'm glad He said faith of a mustard seed, because there are times when that's all I've got. But God does what's right. Amen. That is faith. I can trust Him. And I will. Faith. Obeying the Word of God. We need to believe it. We need to act on it. We need to live it out, no matter how we feel. Number four, the shield of faith. How can I increase my faith? How can I increase my faith? Go to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Verse number 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Amen. Lord, I trust you. I want to trust you more. Help me. How can He help you? How can you strengthen your faith? Well, the first thing you need to do is focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Look at verse number, well, go to verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, running the race of the Christian life, looking at the finish line, looking at Jesus Christ, keeping our focus, our eyes on Him at all times. Amen. We live in a world that wants to draw our attention away from Jesus Christ all of the time. Satan wants to make sure there are things that will pull our eyes off of Christ, things that will pull us away, pull our heart away from Christ. We need to constantly refocus ourselves, refocus our lives, and focus on Jesus Christ, not on the circumstances. There are plenty of adverse circumstances that are out there. Plenty of things will go wrong in this life. If they haven't gone wrong for you yet, let me cheer you up. It's coming. Okay, things will go wrong. Bad things happen. Tough things occur. Focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. Keep your eyes on Him, not on the folk, not on the circumstances, not on the temptation. Oh, temptations will come. They will arise. They will there. Do not dwell on temptation. Amen. What is my thought about temptations and chocolate cake? If you're on a diet, do you keep chocolate cake in the middle of the kitchen table? You know, and you just sit there and stare at it. You know, I can't have it, so I'll just look at it. I'll just smell it. I won't eat it. I'll just get close enough to it. You know, maybe if I could put just a little bit in my, I won't swallow. But I could just put a little bit in my mouth. And what are you, crazy? How many of us know that's bad news? We do. We can't do that with temptation. Can't do it. Focus on Christ, not the circumstances, not the temptation, not the testing. We've said it time and time again. You're going to be tested in this life. God's going to bring trials and testings into your life, not so that he can see what you're going to do. God knows what you're going to do. He's God. So that you can see what you're going to do, and so that you can see what he's going to do. But don't focus on that testing. Don't focus on that trial. Focus on Christ every time. Don't focus on the need. Yeah, you're going to have needs. They're going to come. How could you ever know that God will meet your needs if you never had any needs? You're going to have them. They're going to occur in this life. But don't focus on the need. Focus on the Christ who will meet that need, who's promised to take care of all of your needs. Focus on him. Not the burden. There are burdens in this life that you'll have to bear. Don't focus on that. Focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not Christ, but not I, but Christ who liveth in me." He said, I allow Jesus Christ to live in and through me at all time. My focus is on Christ. Amen. Always. Focus on Christ. Secondly, feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. Go to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 17, Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How do we increase our faith? We get it from the word of God. Amen? We get it from the word of God. The shield of faith. Remember, faith is believing the word of God and acting on it no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. Well, I've got to know the word of God to believe the word of God. So I've got to feed on God's word all of the time. Do you know what happens when I feed on God's word? I will, first of all, see the testimonies of faith that are in God's word. Go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12 again. Verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." He said, wherefore, to begin this chapter. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, don't get the idea that we're in this giant stadium and there's a grandstand around us and all the people who have come before us are sitting witnessing us run our race. That's not what the verse is talking about. He's not saying they're witnessing us. He's saying this great cloud of witnesses are witnessing to us that it can be done. To us that the race is winnable. They're witnessing to us that if you will live by faith, you can overcome, obey God, do what is right, and understand that God's promised a good result. Amen. He begins with the word, wherefore. It's just like the word, therefore. Whenever you see the word, therefore, you're supposed to find out what it's there for. It's all because of what I just said. Now do this. Well, what did he just say? Hebrews chapter number 11 is a chapter on all of the, but many of the men and women of faith who believed the word of God and acted on it no matter how they felt, and God promised a good result. And they saw it happen in their lives. And you go down the list of all of these people in here and say, well, Abel, verse number 4, he obeyed God. He believed the word of God. He acted on it. And God promised a good result. You say, wait a minute, he died. Well, He obeyed God. God accepted the sacrifice of the Lamb, which pictured Jesus Christ, and he went to heaven. I'd call that a pretty good result. Amen? Enoch. He believed the word of God. He acted on it. God promised a good result. One day they were out for a walk, God and Enoch. And God said, "Why don't you just come on home with me?" And Enoch never died, went right to heaven. How about Noah? What did he do? He believed the word of God and acted on it. He built an ark. God told him to. And God promised a good result. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all of the heroes of the faith did just that. And when we read the Word of God and read their accounts and read about their lives and find out what they did, we are encouraged by them because we see the testimony of their lives of faith. When they acted on the Word of God, when they believed it and did what was right, God did bless them. God took care of them. Yes, some of them died. But they went to heaven. And as soon as they opened up their eyes on heaven's side in the arms of Jesus, they didn't think, "Oh man, I died." Didn't happen. They realized doing what was right was the best decision they ever could have made. Amen. Amen. You read the book, you will see testimonies of failure in this book. Not only testimonies of faith, testimonies of people who did what was right and were rewarded for it, you will also see testimonies of failure. Those who did what was wrong, and they messed things up. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. Verse number 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. He's talking about the children of Israel, who when they first came to the promised land decided they couldn't trust God without reservation. They couldn't believe the word of God and act on it because they felt like they could not. And so they decided they would do things their way, live their own way, and they ended up being forbidden to go into that promised land. When God said, "I'll take you in, I'll fight the battles, you'll win everyone, the land is yours." And they said, "No, we don't think so. There's giants in the land. We can't take it." And their unbelief held them back and they died in the wilderness. Now let me tell you, from where they started to the land of Canaan was an 11-day walk. They spent the next 40 years walking in circles. Haven't we been here before? Yeah, 32 times. 33 times. Why? They just walked in circles. Wilderness. Wasting their lives because they refused to believe the word of God and act on it no matter how they felt because God promised a good result. And they failed. You can mark it down. Christians who have failed have decided they're going to put down their shield of faith and they're going to live lives their own way. They've decided they're not going to obey the Word of God. They're not going to believe the Word of God. They're not going to act on it, whether it's because of something they felt or something else. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they failed. You'll read about many of them in this book. And as you do, you'll begin to realize, I don't want to be like the failures. I want to be like the successes. I better take up the shield of faith. In it, this book, you will see testimonies of the faithfulness of God. That's the amazing part. Men trusted him, and God was faithful. Amen. Men failed him, and God was still faithful. Amen. Oh, He is the God of the second chance. He is the God that can take your failures and make them new again. Amen. He can and He will. Hebrews chapter number 6. Verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. When someone makes an oath, and they swear to tell the truth, they swear to tell the truth, you know, with a hand on the Bible and their hand up to heaven, they might say, I swear to God. Okay, what are they doing? They're swearing an oath on something bigger than they are, greater than they are, more important than they are, with more authority than they have. But God, when He made His promises, He had nothing greater to make that oath upon. It was just Him. And if God said something, it is based on His character. And God never fails. Amen. God never lies. Amen. God is always right. And if you'll read the book, you'll find that out. And as you see others who have lived by faith get rewarded by God, whether in this life or in the next, and you see others who failed to live by faith, become entangled in sin, become a fodder for Satan, and when you see the faithfulness of God at every turn, you'll be motivated to trust God even more. Amen. It won't come outside of focusing on Jesus Christ and feeding on the Word of God. Amen. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16, I just want you to look at those two words, above all. Above all. He's already said the girdle of truth is important, put it on. He's already said the breastplate of righteousness is highly important. Put it on. He's already said your feet need to be covered with the cleats of peace. Put them on. And then He uses the word above all. Above all. That tells us this is important. That tells us this is key. That tells us this is something we need to hear, we need to understand, we need to realize above all. Taking this shield of faith. Why? It will determine everything you do in this life. Period. Your attitude toward faith. What is faith? Believing the Word of God and acting on it no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. Everything will rise and fall on how you live that statement out. Period. Above all. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Christ, for salvation, for Your Word, for the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for the armor of God that we can put on to stand for You. Lord, that shield of faith is so important. We must understand Your Word. We must believe it. We must act on it, no matter how we feel. Lord, I pray You'd work in every one of our hearts right now and bring us to a place of decision where we will do what is right, where we will make sure that we are following You in Your Word. Lord, I pray that we'd focus on Christ, focus on Your Word, feed on Your Word, guide and direct us, guide and direct the decisions that we make right now. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. The Word of God has been preached. The Holy Spirit has promised that He would take the Word of God and apply it to hearts and lives of those who listen. So I trust this morning the Holy Spirit has done His job. He's taken the Word of God and applied it to you. What does He want you to do? How does He want you to live? What does God want from you this morning? You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. Or as a testimony of that fact, put your hand up. Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 You put your hands down. Amen. Christian, how's your life? How are you doing? Have you taken that shield of faith? Are you believing the Word of God enough to act on it, no matter how you feel? Every moment of every day. Because that is what will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Nothing else is going to do it. We must live in obedience to the Word of God, trusting Him without reservation, because He's always faithful. He never lies. He always does what is right. You say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me today. I want to make sure that I have that shield of faith all the time. Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. God's spoken. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Yes. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me today. Just put your hand up, put it back down. We love you here. We want to pray for you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Maybe you're here, you've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Without salvation, you really can't take the shield of faith, because you've got nothing to put your faith in. You must trust Jesus Christ first. Place your faith in Him, in Him as your Savior, first and foremost. You say, Pastor, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins have been forgiven. I don't know that I'm saved. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Our Father, thank you again for Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you willingly went to the cross in our place and you paid our sin penalty in full. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that if we put our faith and trust in you, having repented of our sin, you will save us. You will fit us for heaven and we will go there. Lord, right now we're here. We need to live a life that pleases you. We need to live a life understanding there's a war going on. And we need to make sure we've got on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against all of the strategies of Satan. He's out to devour us. Lord, you said above all, take that shield of faith. I pray this morning that everyone in here would be determined we're going to do just that. Every moment of every day, hide behind our faith, our trust, without reservation, in the God of the universe. Lord, work in our hearts. Draw us to you today. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 390. 390. If God has spoken to you, if there is a decision that He wants you to make, and there is, you make that decision right now. You can make it where you're standing. You can come to the front and pour your heart out to God. If you need to speak to me, I'll be waiting for you right down front. If you need to be saved, you speak to me. I'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. We're going to sing on this first verse. What does God want you to do? Make that decision right now as we sing.